Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty for Carrie and Ryan from the band Earth Girl. Carrie, Ryan, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Oh my God, thank you for coming. Oh, that was just, so good.
So in sync, yes.
And you guys look lovely. I love the coordination. And we've got the other two band members off camera coordinated as well. So awesome.
Thanks. Holler really loud, guys.
Woo!
Really loud, hey, guys.
See, they're real people. Yes. I wasn't lying about that. Okay, so I know some of our viewers will probably be familiar with us and some more of them won't. So take me back to the beginning when Earth Girl forms.
Started right about before New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve was our first show together.
And how long ago are we talking?
Oh, just this past New Year's. So I guess it's only been about 5 or 6 months.
Okay, so We're fresh in the tail.
We're fresh.
Love it.
We've got that fresh energy still. We're all very motivated and excited. We played a really cool New Year's Eve show. It was like a backyard house party.
Nice.
There were a lot of people there. And since then, we've just been like really steadily writing music, recording music, practicing, playing shows, making merch. We're just like trying to go, because we got a lot of ideas. So now it's just like putting it all out there.
Absolutely. So what was the road like before that first show? How quickly from what was first rehearsal like?
First rehearsal was, well, you guys had all the songs written. Like you and Joshua had all the songs ready to go.
Yeah.
And Dylan, did you already know all the songs?
Yeah, I did one show before you jumped in.
Okay. So, yeah, Dylan already knew all the songs, and, I had, live recordings of you guys, practicing them, so I showed up kind of already knowing how to play, and it was mostly just figuring out how to make each other's sound play with each other in the room together. Because, the first practice with just, a lot of bashing all the way through it and us going, yeah, it's fun! And then you go back and go, all right, how do we make it sound good, though?
Fun first.
So before we played that first show, it mostly was just the fun of all playing together. And since that first show, we've really hunkered down and dialed in our dynamics and how to get this part nice and quiet so that this part can be nice and big. I didn't even have a pedal board for the first show. I think I just had an overdrive. And then Dylan was he does all this really cool delay stuff. There's a song where he does a bunch of horror score film sounds.
Love it.
And I was like, yeah, like that. I should probably get a pedal board. And Dylan's like, you should get a pedal board, dude. And I did. And I fought against it for the longest time. I don't know why, because it's super fun. And I do noises. And at we played a show at Deviant Libation just this past Friday. And two people did the, what'd you do to get that sound? And I'm like, aw.
There you go.
That's happening.
Yes.
It's this.
So that's cool. Well, describe to me a little bit about your sound then. I wasn't going to ask that part right away, but if you're going to allude to horror sounds on the guitar, you got to put your sound into a context a little bit if you could.
We've been calling it power pop, loosely rock pop-ish. So I think if I explain the songwriting process, it'll kind of help explain how we got to the sound that we got
Perfect.
To. Perfect. So a lot of the songs start with me coming up with an idea, in the car on the way to work or in the shower or something. I just, hum to myself, and then I kind of just come up with lyrics, and I come up with a vocal melody without any instruments, which I know is kind of not
right.
The usual approach to songwriting.
Right.
But in our case, it works really well, because I'll take the structure of a song with my vocal part, and I'll bring it to these guys, and I'll say, okay, so let's turn this into a song, and what does that sound like? They're the ones who really have the know-how. I play bass, but I have just learned within the past few years, I learned to support this band and all of the musical endeavors, because you kind of always need a bass player. But
tell me about that one.
Josh is great on the drums. Dylan and Ryan rock out on the guitars, and they really know what they're doing in that department. So I feel like they get the opportunity to really bring the strong musicianship and catchiness and melodic interest to the anthemic choruses that I'm sort of bringing to the table. So everyone gets to shine and really be themselves.
So do you have any music theory background?
Oh, that's a good question. An unorthodox approach to it. Yes. So when I was 10 years old, I recorded a demo of 5 original songs with my mom and her first husband, who is a musician. And I was called, oh boy, I'm going to give it away. I was called Carrie Ann Crystal. And we made these 5 songs and we marketed them for a little while. And I took a bunch of music classes and I played at the Blueberry Patch and we did a little bit with it.
Wait, you played at the Blueberry Patch?
Yes. That's awesome. I was like 10. Three songs. I just got up there, no instruments behind me, just on a mic singing to the crowd.
That's like classic St. Pete like lore.
Awesome. It really is. I've been part of the scene for a minute. But then my mom got cancer and she's fine now, but that kind of put a pause on that. And then I got really interested in visual art. I've always been writing poetry for like forever. Like I found that out when I was a kid that that's really fun. So like, okay, cool. And I've always really loved to sing. But then I took a big visual art turn. I went to Ringling College.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I graduated in illustration in 2017.
Oh, very cool.
And since then, I did a lot of, I did mural painting and I do branding and I still do that. And I work for a camp, Dream Oaks Camp. It's actually in Bradenton and I do marketing and graphic design for them.
Cool.
So all of that visual art stuff. But yeah, the music kind of took a back seat until one day in my like early 20s. I was like, you know, I really want to have a band. How do I have a band? How do I do this? And then it just really came down to meeting the right people. Like I became friends with all of these individuals first. And then, you know, we have that really core friendship. And then we were able to build the music on top of that. And now having the music back in my life feels so complete. Like I feel like my full self includes doing the visual art, but also having that music there.
Yeah, amen to that. It's art all the way around, but one supporting the other a little bit. Yes. The symbiotic relationship in one's own art circle.
Yes, exactly. It all supports each other.
Right.
I mean, this scene, it's super awesome and super supportive. Like, everybody books shows together and talks together, and it's just whatever music scene is happening right now in Pinellas County, Tampa, St. Pete, it's great. I love it. Everybody's so awesome. And everybody supports each other. 2 thumbs up.
What do you think that's attributed to? Because that's not something every music scene can say, and it's certainly the sign of the things. I guess let me ask you this. What do you feel that's changing that's allowing that to happen there? Or what do you feel that's unique about that area that's allowing that to happen?
I would say, now this is just an opinion.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Like when the thing that happened in 2020 happened and everybody was so scared that it wasn't going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody is just so happy to be out and doing it. And for a while there weren't very many venues to choose from. And now there's more venues opening up and everybody's going, ooh, we got to book these gigs to help support these venues. And the venues are like, yes, come play. We need more bands to play to help support these bands. And then it's the symbiotic thing of like more go play a show at Crowbar, go play a show at the Benz, at Deviant Libation, and name drop.
Right.
Like all these things happening all together so that everybody can be thankful that we're able to do it again.
So a little bit more of the gratitude crept in.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we do not take it at all for granted to be able to play in these spaces. When that all happened too, I mean, I was so scared of getting my mom sick that I really isolated.
Right.
And so I was writing a lot of really sad songs alone in my room, like I'm sure a lot of people were. And like, now that we're back to this, oh God, I never want to lose this again. I want to add on to what you were saying about the music scene. It's also the people who live around here. We could not ask for more supportive friends and just like people involved in this scene. They come out to the local shows, you know, they support the bands here. They listen to the music. They like the posts. All of that means so much to little artists like us. It's everything.
They take pictures and they share them with each other and they show up and they sing the words.
Yes. Oh my God. When you see someone singing words to your song, that's like crazy.
We played
you feel like a rock star.
We played the Benz on Thursday and I was like, that person's singing the words. I go wipe a tear. I go sad. Because happy sad.
It's like all you ever want, right? When you write a song, and there it is.
Right. And that's really a good sign for a band where you guys are at, so fresh. So talk to me about, when did you get your first release out that people know your music?
Oh, it just happened a month ago. We put out Broken Record. It's our first single. It's really catchy. It's about like, hey, that terrible partner that you've had like forever, why don't you just go ahead and leave them? Because you will be so much happier. Right. And it's like really anthemic and poppy. And
yeah, get the strength to realize
you can dump him. Or you them or her, whoever.
Him, yes. Yeah. If they're worth dumping, don't keep them around. Honestly, it was something I did for a long time when I first started dating. I would stay with the wrong person for too long, which is doing a service to nobody and positive value at all.
I think everybody's been down that one for sure. So that's a good, relatable topic. So what? When are you going to have a full record out? Are you writing more, recording more now, or are you just working on more, getting out there and playing more shows and tightening up before you do that?
So I feel like instead of the album approach, what we're going to keep continuing to do is put out one or two songs at a time. Not for lack of loving albums, but just because an album is such a huge feat. And in this digital age where marketing is like you kind of have to have new content out, we want to stay on people's minds. You know, eventually maybe taking a collection of songs we release and then releasing it as an album, like, okay, this is a body of work now. But also just like we're writing so much, we're writing all the time. We've kind of want to sit on content too long, you know?
Right. Do you feel like that though? I mean, with the way it is, do you feel that any of your vision or ideas are sacrificed by the fact that you feel that being able to put out singles repeatedly and staying fresh in people's minds is sort of a have to at this point?
That's a great question, because the idea of the album being such a cohesive statement of an artist,
right,
in this instance, musical artist, that still exists. Again, we're such like a fresh, brand new band,
right,
that I don't even think we've had a discussion of releasing an album. I don't think it's come up.
No.
It's just been like, let's record songs and let's play shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the opportunity, like if we keep going and everything keeps being positive and everything, if the opportunity to make an album presents itself,
I'll ring.
Not saying no at all.
Well, I wouldn't think that.
But it's just right now, yeah, like we're about 90% done recording the follow-up single to Broken Record. And then we have two more songs tracked that will finish after that. And then we have another two songs fully written that we were just talking about recording in September. So, the goal is just keep releasing content as it comes, because it just seems more natural to do it piece by piece.
I was going to say, do you think that it's like a less pressure to think about, oh, if when we have to write a couple of songs here and there, it's much easier than thinking about the, I shouldn't say much easier, but it's more conducive, let's say, than being Atlas with the Stone and we're going to take on the whole record thing.
It's also just about recognizing that burnout is so real. We're trying to avoid that because we all work a lot. We all are very busy in our jobs. We all care about each other as people and don't want to wear each other out and be too tired. Like, we also all have other hobbies and musical endeavors and passions and things that we're doing. And of course, this is very important to us, but it's also like we don't want to set a deadline for ourselves and then lose sleep to not make that deadline. Like, our health and happiness is very important. So like when we get together, like to record, we'll make dinner, we'll all eat dinner together, we'll like feel real happy and good.
Oh, them dinners do be slapping.
Like, we take time for friendship, we catch up, and not that we're ever like not talking that much. We have a group chat that's very active and filled with memes and joy.
But nice.
so we'll eat
that
dinner.
Sounds like a song, memes and joy.
Memes and joy. Next song, heard it here. Okay. But like we'll record for a few hours, and then, you know, when we're tired, we'll be like, okay, let's call it. And then we're also kind of really picky. Like, at least for me, all of us, we're picky. We're
perfectionists. Picky is not the right term, and perfectionist is not the right
term. Yeah, those are two negatives.
There's a sound that we want to achieve, and we won't compromise.
Yes.
And particular.
Particular.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
Yes. Thank you.
See? Joshua, everybody.
Say something loud.
Loud.
Hell yeah.
Perfect.
We're also recording the music ourselves, so it makes it easier.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. So
not an album endeavor.
Yeah, so talk to me a little, because everybody now kind of does this portion of the show differently. We track drums in a studio, and then we do the rest ourselves. We do everything ourselves. We do drums in the box, yada, yada, yada. There's so many avenues you can take now to stay independent and kind of, I hate to say it, but kind of keep control of your baby a little bit more. So how do you guys approach your recording process?
So we rehearse at Rock Garden, which is in like, not Lehman, what's the name? Kansas City. And we do the drums there, and then we've been doing all the overdubs at Dylan's house, Dylan and Carrie's house. And yeah, it's just been really easy because we can take all the time in the world that we want or do it as fast as we want. And for the most part, it's exactly how we perform the songs live. Like, we record live drums and scratch guitar to a click, and then that's done. We go to Dylan and Carrie's house and then overdub from there at our leisure and go, hey, that guitar is too bright, or hey, the bass is basing. You did that one take? Hell yeah, dude.
And it bassed just like that? Yeah. Sold.
I love it. Yeah. And then one of my favorite things that happens is we're listening to it, and one of the four of us goes, do you hear a harmony on that? And someone goes, sing the harmony. And then one of us sings the harmony, and we go, Dylan, you ready? And Dylan sets up a track, like, run it. And then we're doing harmonies. And
love
we're listening
it.
Back to them. And we're going, gang vocal, gang vocal. And then we set up the
gang vocals are the most fun.
Yes. Switch that to Omni, and we're all doing, we did a harmonized gang vocal, like Beach Boys style.
Sweet.
On this newest song that should be coming out soon.
Four-part harmony. It's so
yay.
Cool.
It was one of those things, I don't know who came up with the idea, either you or Josh. Maybe it was Josh, maybe it was you.
Sometimes the ideas just happen.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it was like, all right, well, let's write it. And then we wrote it. And then we recorded it, and then we giggled a bunch because it was good.
Yeah. It's fun.
And I was going to say, that's what you know worked.
We're keeping it fun. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, we have every time we get together to record or to play, it's fun. I feel like that is super important. If it's not fun, it's not worth doing. But on the other side of that, we really care a lot. Like, Dylan got a new amp recently, a Jazz Chorus. Am I saying that right? Okay.
Classic.
Yeah.
It slaps.
I'm not the gear person. They are, so I don't have to be the gear person. But, like, I can appreciate and tell how cool this amp is. But so he had tracked guitar for a couple of the songs we're working on with a different amp. Then he got that amp. He's like, I'm going to have to retrack with it. And you know what? It sounds better. It sounds
of course.
Like, but that's the level of care we're giving it. Yeah.
Do you find that you're able to keep some more of the fun in the process in that you can do it on your own and you're not going to someone to a studio and trying to say, we're going to pound out a record?
I would say that maybe there is the right person out there that would make it feel comfortable and fun. I would like to find that person. But in the meantime, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That we can all just, hey, all right, I'm sitting here hanging out. Who wants to step up to the plate and record something? And, you know, like, because we're both, Dylan and I are both fluent in Logic. So we will just, like, tag the next person, all right, you want to run vocals on this session? And it's awesome because...
Love that.
Like, I'll go to the bathroom and then all of a sudden Dylan's taking control of the session and I'm like, this is great, awesome, killing it.
I'll just listen for a minute.
And you know what sounds good? What you're doing.
Yeah.
It is so seamless. It really is. They're both so good with Logic. It's like...
So that was actually one thing I was going to ask you. Do you have any training in audio engineering or production, any of you? Or is this a YouTube university thing and we both can hear, everyone can hear?
You took it straight out of my
YouTube
prefrontal
cortex.
Yeah. That was in my prefrontal cortex. Uh-huh. And then you saw it and then went, and I was like, oh, I guess I can't make the YouTube university joke. Uh-huh. Eric already did it. All right, that's cool. All right.
See, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, YouTube is great. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'm always curious about, just as an aside, because I have a formal training in audio engineering and things, and it's interesting for me to see how people can, not to be negative about it, but the way they can fumble their way through it and teach themselves and actually get to a point of having a reasonable product at the end.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think part of it is – I'm sure it's the same with you, Ryan. I watch what Dylan watches, and our YouTube algorithm would tell you it's a lot of how to do this in Logic. What Phoebe Bridgers is doing on her masters, like we how to get big on TikTok. We're literally just kind of passively or actively, almost daily, just
here's
trying
why your
to
compressors
learn.
Sound like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like we're just constantly learning. We don't even have the attention span to hardly watch a TV show anyway. If we're going to sit down and eat something on the couch and watch something for 20 minutes, we might as well watch something where we can learn how to make a better song.
Yeah, like, should I sync my pre-delay on my reverb to my BPM?
Well,
should
of course.
But artistically, I could. Okay.
Yeah. I'll put it a couple BPM off and it'll seem farther away. It'll be awesome.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Free humanization. Okay.
Well, we just had a friend of mine in here who's an excellent audio engineer. Shout out Tristan Wallace. And he said he'd spend up to a month dialing in a snare drum just so one person could say, sounds pretty good.
Sounds pretty good.
And then you're like, yes, I did it. So let me ask you this. How do you balance your instincts as creatives, which you all four clearly have, versus the what seems to be the rigid do it this way or do it that way or your pre-delay settings, things like that? How do you balance the quote-unquote right and wrong ways to do things with your instincts to create?
Oh, I've got a good answer for this one, which is that I feel like I don't know a lot. And it's like half of like, I'm so happy to be learning all the time. Like,
right.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm so happy to be learning music theory. I'm happy to be learning more about music every step of the way. But because I come from this songwriting approach from a very lyric, creatively, intuitively based thing, I think I bring
might
something
I interject.
Unique.
It's pretty amazing when you sing a thing perfectly on pitch and key every time, and all three of us go, you got F sharp on that, right? She keeps singing F sharp every time. How do you do that? That's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's very unusual, but, you know, it works for us.
Yeah, and that was part of my impetus for asking the question, because if you can sing a melody without any chord progression or anything behind you, you clearly have it already in your head. It's just a matter of letting it out.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it. I was a big Katy Perry fan when I was a teenager. I'm in her movie in the first like 10 or 15 minutes. Oh, man, I'm in the crowd like crying my eyes out at her Tampa concert.
Nice.
And then I cried when I saw it in the theater and it was like amazing. But like all of those pop sensibilities have been deep in my brain forever, but also like raised on the hippie music of my parents, which is really cool. But then like I took creative writing classes a lot when I went to SBC, St. Pete College before I went to Ringling. What is this? Yeah. Katy Perry, Part of Me, 2012. I'm in that movie.
You're gonna need to use that screenshot as promo on something.
Yeah, this is the part.
They'll get it.
Creative writing classes. Where was I? Just I've had a lot of training just on the not audio engineering side of things.
Right.
Which has been cool for like me, because I get kind of rigid with like the way that I do things in the audio engineering world. So like Carrie and Joshua, they'll like see that I'm clicking on stuff and they'll go, well, could you do a thing to make it sound like this? And I'd go, huh, cool idea. Probably. And then I did it and then I do something and they're like, close. Can you make it more like this? And I go, bet. And I do it and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I never would have thought to do that. Cool.
Well, that's an awesome part of when you can be in a band and experience being greater than the sum of your parts. That's what I think those moments are. So did you always have that trust in one another to when someone shoots out an idea, you just pursue it? Or did this kind of develop through fumbling through playing with each other?
I just don't think any of us go, no, that's a bad idea. Like,
no, I don't necessarily mean that. Not necessarily meaning quality control of one another's ideas, but having the trust in one another's ideas to just immediately pursue them, because that can be a big fork in the road for bands, because usually it's one person, or I shouldn't say usually, but oftentimes there'll be one person that has the idea. And if someone makes a suggestion, it almost seems like they're curbing the initial idea and you can't, people get real precious in bands a lot. It seems like you guys don't have a
for sure
precious air about you.
I would say that there is a preciousness in that, like, Carrie presents these lyrics and these melodies.
Right.
And the goal is to preserve the lyrics and the melodies and then make the best foundation for them. Like, we're not really changing what she's doing when she presents it. It's just us going, all right, what's the best way to make this a finished song? And, you know, because, like, we'll mess around with different chord progressions, and then we'll go, is this chord progression going too fast or too slow? Should we pull it down here? What should it go to, a happy chord here or keep it sad? Well, she's singing something sad. Well, okay, well, let's minor. Yeah, minor's working there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if it's, we're all pretty quick to, like, say if something isn't working, we'll be like, run that again.
Yeah, you know? This is where it's worth mentioning that all of these boys are incredibly fast at writing, at picking up my melodies. Like, we're all sitting on the floor. They've got a couple guitars, and within half an hour, we can go from an a cappella vocal track idea that I've got to, like, bones of a song. So working through ideas is, like, it doesn't take us that long. So if we go down an avenue that ends up being wrong, like, oh, well, it was worth it to go explore that idea for a second just to see what we get out of it. Even if we try something and it doesn't work for one track, maybe that same idea will work on another track.
Oh, for sure.
But also, I think a lot of it, again, with the trust has to do with the friendship, that we're all just very closely connected, so we have an abundance of respect and admiration for each other's talents. Like, Ryan and Josh have been best friends for since how long?
Years.
Years? Years?
I've been, 20 plus.
I've been friends with them for years. Dylan and I have been, like, together for, like, a year and a half now, something
nice.
Like that. So, like, we're just all, like, real good friends. And I think that the music just and the process develops so organically and beautifully from that.
Well, I mean, that's obviously almost a lightning in a bottle in and of itself. But of the little bit of time you've been together now, what's been the most surprising part about getting together and finally making these sounds and letting your music be music?
Yo, great question. Do a lot of your listeners play in bands? I know you play in bands.
Well, we do tend to talk to quite a lot of musicians. So.
All right, cool. Yeah. So yeah, that's right. I went on your Instagram. I saw that, like, yeah, you had the Tilt and In Transit on and Mothbite.
Yeah, we've got no boundaries. It's rappers, metal bands,
that's
you name
awesome.
It.
I love that.
Yeah, all really cool people. The first time I saw the Tilt, Joshua was like, he told me, oh, this band's amazing. I got to turn around and see what face Ryan is making. And he was correct, because the face that I was making when I first saw the Tilt was.
Yeah, they're so fun.
He has a photograph of me completely losing marbles. The marbles were gone.
Honestly, similar to Mothbite, I have a picture of you first singing.
Oh, first time I saw Mothbite at, was it Lighthouse?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like standing next to the drummer. I was just like, is anybody else seeing this? This is good.
Well, dude, the family has is always expanding, and now you guys are part of that. So, welcome to the family.
Oh, thank you. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. So, people who have played in bands know that you end up playing a lot of shows for the sound tech, the bartender, the door person, and it happens.
It happens.
Okay,
and it's okay.
It's fine.
It's good practice anyway.
That hasn't happened yet to Earth Girl.
That's true.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Somehow, in the 7 or 8 shows that we've played this year, 10
shows. That sounds
shows,
right. Something like that.
They've all been, like, good to bangers. Like, in that realm. There's been no duds.
Well, that's another big shout
Knock
out to the
wood.
Community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two thumbs up. Good job, everybody.
So
you're killing
cool.
It.
Much love. Right. Much support.
So I would say maybe surprised isn't the right word, although I am surprised that it's been like that. It's just, again, thankful and excited to keep doing it. Very thankful.
Yeah.
Well, 2024 is the year of extreme gratitude. I've actually got to say that twice today. No, don't be surprised. I'm the one that dubbed it that, so I'm just sharing it with everybody
I can.
I'll
take that and run with it.
When people bring up things like that they're thankful for, it's like, well, it is the year of extreme gratitude, so we're all just,
wait,
we're on
it,
that way.
Is it really?
It is. Well, it is. I dubbed it that.
Oh.
Okay, so, and then
okay.
So it
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it is.
Thank That's you. What I'm saying. Right. That's what I'm saying.
I love that.
You know how the creative mind works in that regard. I've decided it and it is so, and if I propagate it out enough, then it's in the world.
Yeah. I'm grateful all the time for these guys. I cannot do this alone. I know there are so many amazing musicians out there who they really are a one-stop shop. They get the idea. They know all the instruments, and then they can record it.
Right.
And that's so cool, but that's so not me.
Listen, Carrie, I've recorded a lot of vocals in my time, and never have I ever, like, recorded a vocal and then gone back and been like, vocal's done.
Love that.
And then, like, just for the hell of it, let me highlight this and put the, like, Melodyne or Auto-Tune on it. I'm just curious. I just want to see. It didn't move anything.
I was going to say it adjusts next to nothing.
It didn't move anything.
Love
you guys.
It.
Love this it. Is weird.
I'm love getting it. To live, like, my pop star dreams in my head. It feels so good to be so supported. Like, even this kind of support is amazing. Just, like, they appreciate me. I appreciate y'all. Like, I think that my biggest surprise has just been how fun and easy and fluid this has been, really. Like, I've had so many musical starts before that just never got a lot of fire because, you know, it really is about who you're working with.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what do you think is different about the fire this time?
It's the people. It's 100% the people. And this is advice I would have to anyone who
gotta keep it posse.
Yeah, anyone who is struggling PMA. In the band, maybe, like, really review who you're playing music with. I think it's really, really important to be friends and to get along and respect each other, listen to each other's ideas. It's a yes and environment. It's a yes and environment.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like improv. Yes, oh, and no. Another vocal no. line, and another.
Yeah. Yes, and is a little bit different than yeah, but.
Yeah. Yeah, no yeah, buts, only yes ands.
That's awesome.
So what do you see, what's the next thing on the horizon for you?
I mean, keep on doing what we're doing. Like, more shows. All right. When's the next gig, Carrie?
Yes, okay, we're playing. We're playing June 7th at Crowbar. Right?
And is that, is that like...
No, that's Stardust. June 7th is Stardust.
In Orlando. Our first Orlando show.
With the Murmurs, New Eagles, the Palmettes. That's going to be really exciting.
Is that your first venture away far from home, so to speak? Or is that the farthest you...
Yes. Okay. I've never played in Orlando before, and I am very, very excited.
Heck yeah.
Love Orlando. Was just at Will's Pub for Ben Katzman Degreaser show over there from Survivor, and it was amazing. Yeah, I love Orlando. Yeah, we're playing June 7th in Orlando. Then
at Stardust.
And then you have our flyer up. We have so many shows. What are they all? Hooch and Hive.
That's right.
Is
we're
June
playing
8th
with in transit. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Sweet.
Mm-hmm. And then June 21st and June 22nd, we have shows back to back. June 21st, that's really exciting. That's going to be Witchy Heights. My friend Lorraine is an astrologer, and she is very cool. She's like witchy and amazing. And
love it.
Knows everything about that stuff. I've been doing a series of illustrations for her. And now she is opening up her space, so we're going to go perform at the opening of the event, and there will be, like, giveaways, and it'll be very cool.
Oh, very
That's
cool.
That's on the 21st.
That's in St. Wild
Pete.
Roots?
It's the Wild Roots building.
Okay.
It's just in the same space. It's right next door.
Oh.
And then June 22nd is the Emo Night Tampa show at Crowbar.
Yeah.
And that's going to be with Black Hippie, right? And then I think, like, a couple of other bands that we may or may not be able to say yet.
Yes. Right.
Bad things and TBA.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that getting to be like towards one of the last shows they're doing at Crowbar?
Yes. Yes. Which is a huge blow to the community, not just the music community, of course the music community, but just the art and culture scene of Ybor as a whole.
Like, right.
Tom DeGeorge has been a leader. A beacon, like, for so long.
Right.
And, you know, I don't really know what to say about it. Like, the fact that that's going to be closing down soon is really heartbreaking.
It's such a strange thing because pretty much everybody has their story of X band they saw at Crowbar.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You go, you park next to the Roosters, and you go in and you have an amazing time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that space is in a lot of our hearts. All of us hold that space very dear. So.
And you go in there. And then the first 30 minutes that you're in there, you're looking on the walls at all the posters going like, oh, that's right. I remember Two-Door Cinema Club. That was a good show. Oh, yeah. Appleseed Cast. I was there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, but you do say that there's like smaller venues picking up or...
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Yeah, where do we play?
We did a gig at Bayboro, which is really not small. It's quite large.
Well, the reason why I ask is because a lot of times when bands first start out and they're as fresh as you guys are, it's where to play, how to do this. So did any of you have experience with that, booking and those things like that? Or this was just a, hey, I'm going to get on the phone. Hey, I'm going to send an email. One of us figures this out.
How did we get the first show at Lighthouse?
I am very fortunate and grateful to say right now that I really have not reached out to any venues. It's really just people who are friends with us happen to know places that are looking, or someone from a place hears about us. Yeah. But we're very connected to other bands. We really kind of just have been asked to play everything that we've played so far. I know it won't always be the case, but that's really cool.
If anybody is in a band and they're having a hard time booking shows, go to shows. Go to tons of shows. Like me and Joshua, we are photographers, and we go to shows and take pictures of bands, and then they follow us on Instagram, and then they're like, oh, you're in a band, and then a couple weeks later, hey, we're booking a show, and it's just all very supportive. Like, if you go and support, people will go and support you. Just be a part of it, and then you're a part of it. And be cool.
And be cool.
Be helpful. Yeah. Be nice. Yeah.
Be cool is a standard one.
Yeah.
So that gives me an interesting question, or one thing I'm always curious about, because I know lots of people get in the rat race of networking. Oh, we network. Oh, we networked. We networked with this. Do you see a line purposely or otherwise between network and relationship building, especially at this early stage of the life of Earth Girl?
Do we got to wait for that?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Sometimes we let it.
Emergency.
Every once in a while, actually, when the tilt was on, a person drove by with Genius of Love just blaring.
Oh,
you know
no.
the song Genius of Love? And all of us just immediately started dancing. So sometimes it works and we can play into it, but I'm not going to fall over and have a heart attack. So.
Okay. All right. Run that question by again, because that was a lot, and then I heard the siren.
Oh, yeah, that distracted squirrel brain totally.
Oh, yes.
What
Sorry.
Was it?
Oh.
Lord help us all.
Nope, he wasn't paying attention either.
It was a question about networking and the human connection.
Absolutely. All right. Okay.
I'm here. So,
thank you, Harry.
Yeah.
Harry Ribaldo, everybody.
See?
Awesome. So apparently you're better at this than the rest of us. Anyways, so a lot of people that are trying to do their thing, whatever it is, creative endeavor or otherwise, are fixated on networking. Networking is like this hot button where, oh, we network, we go to all these networking things, oh, we know everybody. But I feel like in the artistic world, there is a clear line between networking and relationship building. And it sounds like you guys can kind of pick up on that too. And I'm wondering if you noticed that already, or if it just kind of feels like this, we're just trying to network and everybody's trying to get on stage thing.
You know, I never really thought about it as networking so much as I've always just felt it and experienced it as engaging in the community.
Okay. Like, that's what I thought.
Like, it's just, I love being able to be a part of this supportive bubble, this community of artists and musicians. It's really cool to see. And then I've been a part of doing music for so long that when I see these younger people doing things and I'm like, oh, Joshua, the kids are all right. Did you see what these kids are doing? They sound amazing. They're like third wave emo. Like, how do they know about this? And
emos are strong.
Yeah. And it energizes me and I get so stoked about it. And I mean, who's making money off of this? I'm not making any money off of it.
That's a whole different conversation.
But I don't care.
Right.
Like, I don't. I'm like, you know, fuck capitalism. Sorry, I said the F word.
That's okay. In that context, it's warranted.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just community and relationship, and I never really thought about it as networking. I do think it's really cute when, like, Rutterkin played a show. Carrie also plays bass in Rutterkin. And we did a gig at Dunnian Brewery with Wolfface. And when we were done, these like two or three younger girls came up and were just gushing all over Carrie. And I'm like, packing up my drum kit, like,
that's so sweet. I love that so much.
That's awesome.
Because that's really what it's all about. I think.
Yeah, amen to that.
Is when you're able to make a connection with somebody in the audience, in addition to making a connection with people in the music community itself. Like, it's cool to, the word isn't impress so much as it is feel kinship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
With your fellow artists in the community. But then it's also really cool when someone who just loves engaging with the community of all the different musicians and all the different bands playing, and they come to the shows and they keep coming to the shows. Like, that's another part I don't know if I've touched on enough. Like, the people that keep showing up that don't play any instruments, I see you. And,
yes.
And I love you.
We need you there.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's awesome.
No, 100%. We approach songwriting from the lyrics to the music. We approach all of it with a lot of just genuine spirit. You know, we're coming at this from a place of sincerity. What is the point of making music at all? We are trying to
make people
feel things. We're trying to connect. It's a form of communication. People know when they're being advertised to. People don't want to be advertised to. We see thousands of ads. Like every day, every week, all the time. We work in ads. Like,
I was just going
to
say.
We have to make ads. We have to make ads. But not. We haven't made any ads yet. But every TikTok, every Instagram, every whatever we try to make, we're going to approach it just from a genuine place of, we just really want you to feel what we were feeling when we wrote this song. We want to spread you joy. And it's the same when we go out and meet people. We want to spread joy to the people we meet. When people come up and talk to us, it doesn't feel like it's networking. It just feels like just making genuine connections with people who, like, if you dig our music, that's so amazing. I automatically want to be your friend. Like,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
When we debuted our summer looks at Deviant Libation, I knew it was great because all my friends who were at the show were like, what is that? And I'm like, I don't know, but I feel great. Y'all should do this too. If y'all have worn overalls before, you got to try it, man.
Yeah.
Overalls. I love the matching outfits. I feel so stylish.
It is good. It is good. So how do you manage? Well, one of the things I actually wanted to ask you that you brought up, since you play bass and sing, do you play bass and sing in both bands?
Yes, technically. It's more background vocals in Rudderkin. The bass, I would say, is more complex in Rudderkin than it is in the songs that we're writing. I think when we're writing, we've got two shredders on guitar. The bass doesn't need to be that complex.
Yeah, because I think you know where I'm going with this, because it is very difficult to sing and play bass. It's not like other instruments. Especially if you're just,
I wanna do it.
If you're just learning to play bass. Have you had any hiccups with that, singing and playing bass? Has that been a weird experience since you started just singing first?
You know, I've heard for a lot of people that they do struggle with singing and playing at the same time. For me, it has come very naturally. I really don't struggle with it at all. But I think part of that also has to do with, I did learn how to play guitar when I was a teenager.
Okay.
Not well, but like I could get through an Oasis 4-chord type song.
Okay.
And like, so I think just at least having that mental memory and training in the back of my head. And then I didn't play guitar for a long time, but I had a couple of years where I did. And I had a 12 string and a 6 string and like,
cool.
Yeah, surprise. I think that kind of helps training. But no, I mean, it just, I'm super lucky that it just works with that, with my brain. That being said, again, I'm not doing some crazy bass line.
Right, you're not playing polyrhythms and stuff.
Right, no. If we needed that in a song, realistically, what we'd probably do is one of the guys on guitar would maybe take the bass for that song. When we're doing our set right now, I'm having my full diva moment when we come out. I do a couple songs just getting to express and
yes.
very dancey, and they're on all the instruments, and then I sort of pick up
I get
the
to
bass.
Play bass.
Yeah. So,
I'm not good at it, but it sure is fun.
It's fun.
You know, having people who know multiple instruments in the band is super cool, because I think the idea is like, none of us are hung up on, well, this has to be the instrument that I always play 100% and it has to be like this and that. Like, it's more like the song being cool and the best it can be, the end product, that's what's important. Now, how do we get there?
Yo, Joshua, we got to do a song where I'm on drums and you're on guitar.
Yeah.
All right, it's
y'all just
happen.
Switch all of a sudden mid-set.
All right, we're going to write a song soon
that's
that
so
does
cool.
that. Love that.
I love that.
Why not?
Why the hell not?
Why not?
Okay. Well, if you're all multi-instrumentalists.
Oh, right? One thing I thought was wild was when we were practicing the Rutterkin stuff. You did better when you were learning the harmonies and the bass at the same time.
Yeah.
Like the second that I was like, well, it's a stretch goal, but I'd really like for us to knock out these four-part harmonies. And you were like, no, let's just do it. And I'm like, okay. And then you just sent it. It was so dope. Like first practice, like there's a quiet part and I'm like, well, I normally take like the fourth and fifth above. Carrie, you take that and then I'll do something below. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. Was that dope or what? I just nailed it. So
well, that's so awesome. And you guys have mentioned a couple of times that you do four-part harmonies, which I am personally a humongous fan of. And one of the things that when I'm old man shouting at clouds, I bitch about, there's no music that has four-part harmony
anymore.
Dude,
you got to – seeing a band live do harmonies, that is the – that's the thing
secret
that
sauce.
I love.
Agreed.
That thing. There's a punk band out of Orlando called Wet Nurse. And the two singers, they like straight up harmonize the whole time. And every time I'm just like, you guys hearing this? Because this is so good. Yeah.
That's that Bad Religion.
Yeah. Just constant. The whole chorus is a harmony. And we try to do that a lot too. Because it's so good.
Amen. I agree with you completely. But it is not necessary. Well, it is not at all common right now. So how do you see your music? Where does Earth Girl fit in on the landscape of music? Where do you see your contemporaries? Or are you deliberately trying to not see that and carve your own niche? Totally. As much as one can.
I haven't thought about it.
You know, like, you know, Chapel Roan's really big right now. Olivia Rodrigo's really big right now. Lizzie McAlpine. Like, I feel like I want to have, like, the lyrical sensibility of Lizzie McAlpine, the drama and fun and anthemic choruses of Chapel Roan. And then who's the third one I said?
Katy Perry? No, that was early.
No, you were supposed to be the paying attention one.
Olivia Rodrigo. And the grit, the rock sound. I mentioned Olivia Rodrigo specifically because, okay, it's like she's really mainstream. She's pop.
Yeah,
we
but
got
that record slaps, though.
The record slaps. It's a lot more rock forward. You know, yeah. Obviously, it's like borrowing from Paramore, right? Like
right.
The Paramore
There's
sound.
There's a lot of that now.
Yeah, like I don't think we'll ever be completely like clean, bubbly pop at any point. Like we're mixing my popish sensibility with their rock punk background. So for that reason, I totally don't know who to compare us to, but those are kind of like... At least for me, some.
Yeah, and that's really the way I meant the question, because lots of times the way the artist hears their song, you know what I mean? I can say, oh, I wrote this song and I feel like it sounds like Band X to me. And everybody that hears that is never going to say Band X. So I'm always curious where you see, you know, your big influences or, you know, who you would sit amongst.
Ah, gosh. As far as like tonality and stuff goes, I'm really just trying to lean into that like 90s buzz band kind of sound,
mm-hmm.
like something that would be on 120 minutes.
Yes.
But then like I listen back to it and I'm like, well, it's actually not quite there. It's something different and I'm not mad at it.
Right.
Because I'm just like, I think it sounds really good. And then I turn to y'all and you're like, this is great. And I'm like, sweet. Awesome. Because whatever it is we're doing, it's slight, just different enough to make me go, all right. It's not quite like, you know, That Dog or
oh, man, or I haven't
Weezer.
Heard that one in a minute.
Well,
nice drop there's a lot.
There's a lot of that going on when I'm in Logic and like trying to figure out like where the guitars are supposed to sit and stuff.
Gotcha. That's old school Josh Klinghoffer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if anybody really knows that. Not that it matters.
No.
It doesn't matter. But,
well,
but for instance, when I'm mixing, like I think of That Dog a lot specifically. But that also is like, you know, like a 90s pop band that had crunchy guitars.
Right.
That's what we're doing.
One other thing I'll pop onto that is New Radicals. Maybe you've been brainwashed too.
That record
Love
slaps.
That. I played that CD to death. My mom had that CD and I had a boombox and that was it. They touched on some environmentalism, activism type of lyrics that I think kind of just rooted in the back of my brain as a child and
right.
sort of been festering ever since. Like,
very cool.
I don't know too many bands personally, and I would love to be told about them, but who are writing environmental songs, but like you can hear the words, but it's catchy, like chorusy, poppy. Like I know that there's a lot of that in the punk and hardcore scene, but right. taking an environmentalist focused message and bringing it into a pop rock sensibility so it's easily digested. I think that's kind of something unique we are doing.
Good call. I do love that a lot. Yeah. Like the that newest song that we wrote, and I was reading the lyrics, I was like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
I 100% stand behind this message. And it's poppy as hell. Send it.
Right. Yeah. Like,
and that's not an easy thing to do.
No, we're trying to define, like, what is Earth Girl? Because we're going to not every song is going to be about that. Like, we've got right. some relationship songs and some this and that. But I really love having this avenue now to explore. We have in our songs, we have the beach, we have sea lions, we have polar bears, we have rocket ships. Like, now with this, you know, it's almost like making Earth Girl free. My mind that like I don't have to just write about relationships, because honestly everything's going real good in the relationship department in my life. I don't have any drama to write about, so it's like, well, what are we gonna write about? Let's write about what really, really matters to all of us in this band right now, which is saving the planet and doing what we can to help animals and help plants. We're all really big nature people, so
that's awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're a vegan band, by the way.
Yeah, we are.
So
no Eric. Leather guitar straps.
Oh, yeah. No
leather.
No.
We drive a Chuck Prius, Taylor, all vegan.
Chuck Taylor's our canvas, baby.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, nice.
Taco Bell, vegan box after every practice. Yeah.
Yep. So, like, Eric, you've played in bands. One thing I've noticed in Earth Girl is that, like,
thank you.
Pop is hard.
It is.
Like, it's deceptively simple. Like, it sounds like it's just like, oh, they're just playing the 1, 4, and 5 chord. Like,
never.
Well, sure. But it's those little nuances of, like, making this quiet and making this pop. And pop that isn't, like, explode in a big way that it makes me – because I typically play in punk bands where it's just like bash, 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 bash.
I know that.
Which is awesome. And, like, we really have to, like, focus – to, like, make the quiet part sound good so that the loud part can sound good.
Well,
and don't get too loud.
And that's why I wanted to ask you how you balance what you know versus what's instinctual, because I don't know if you're familiar at all with Devin Townsend. Devin Townsend is an extremely prolific prog rock writer. He sang in Steve Vai's band when he was younger. He's just got this amazing career, right? And he's an amazing writer. But he struggles to write things that are like simple. But Chad Kroeger of Nickelback is one of his best friends.
That's awesome.
They're both Canadian.
Okay.
And
the yin and yang of simplicity and opposite of simplicity.
Yeah. So Devin Townsend's got some great interviews out there where he mentions going over to Chad's house and kind of asking him, how the fuck do you do this?
Yeah.
Like, I can write these incredibly involved things, but Devin's had a great career and whatever, but Nickelback is freaking huge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's because of that, I feel. It's because of that difficult thing that you're talking about being done well. Because a lot of people don't get that. And maybe this is a good question. How do you make sure simple stays interesting?
We say less is more a lot. Like, how many times are we recording and we try something and we're like, that sounds really good. And then someone goes, I don't know. Less is more.
Peel things away.
Yeah.
Layer it up and take them away. It doesn't all need to be there.
Yeah, like, it's cool to just, like, throw a bunch of stuff in the pot, start mixing, and then going, does it need that, like, that vocal there? Development, that's probably too much. And then we turn it back and then go, someone goes, that idea you had to get rid of that, it was a good idea. It sounds better without it. You're right. Because sometimes less is more.
Right. And the reductive process can be a good way to mix and write too.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like you guys are able to be well open-minded, whether the idea is to pursue something and let it be, or to pursue something and then now we got to get rid of that.
I'm specifically extremely hard on myself. Like the newest song that we're doing, I recorded a Rhodes thing over the top of it. Dylan's got a Rhodes.
Sweet.
So good.
I love it.
Nothing like the real thing.
No.
Oh, yeah. And I was listening to the rough mix of it, and I was like, I don't know, you guys. I think that maybe we should turn it down.
It's like, it's great. What are you talking about? No, yeah, it's perfect. Leave it alone.
Yeah, Dylan and Carrie were like, we've been listening to it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And I went, I trust you. And then you sent me the most recent mix, and I went, yeah, it slaps. They're right. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. Don't listen to the voice of hatred in your head. Who knows why that voice is there?
It just needed to be blent.
That's a protectionist voice.
We say blent a lot also.
Yeah. Like, it's not mixed, it's blent.
You got to blend
like
it.
Did it get blent? That background vocal's poking its head too much. It needs to be blent.
So would you say that you're always able to individually and collectively as the band put the ethos of serve the song first?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Always.
Yeah. Carrie has these vocals and lyrics, and the goal is to make the best thing around it.
This is the most egoless band I've ever been in.
Oh, love that.
Here's our own little bits, and if it works, it works.
Yeah. If someone throws something on the table, and if it is great, great. And if it's not working, no one is ever hurt about it. It's very quick to be like, yeah, you're right. That isn't working. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. So is understanding one another's humble nature when it comes to that one of the cotter pins to being able to trust each other so effortlessly?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Cool. Maybe. Yeah. This is very interesting because you're having us think about stuff that we've just been kind of like experiencing and
naturally
living.
Naturally doing.
Without like looking at it with like a what's the thing that's reflect? Mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or pond.
Pond.
We'll go Disney princess.
I love that. Thank you. Yes.
We're in the Disney princess reflection pond.
No egos are in the way.
A whole end of drums for me. I said, I can't do this. You do this.
And I was very hesitant. I pushed against you. Joshua just said that he had me record drums on the ending of a part. And I was like, I don't know, dude. You know. And Joshua was like, just try it. I went, okay. And I did a couple of takes, and Josh was like, you did the thing I wanted you to do. And I'm like, okay.
Sweet.
And because whatever it is Joshua was hearing, he knew how to make it end up on the record. And that was by telling me to do it.
Yeah, I think we're learning from each other, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that happened and you did the drums in a certain way. And then Josh heard that and was like, oh yeah, that's kind of like what was in my head, or that's cool.
Oh yeah. And now when we play it live, he does that.
And now he does that. And like, I think that's also part of why we're humble and easy to work all together, because we know we're going to learn something from each other always. Like we're learning from each other about singing and songwriting and
oh,
everything.
Yeah. In New Normal, where we played it live a couple of times and we were struggling to get the vocal above and heard. And finally someone was like, why don't you just like rewrite the melody to be a fifth above? And Carrie was like, okay. And then we sat down and you tried it and we were all giggling because it was so much better.
So much better. Now you can hear every word I'm saying clearly. Thank goodness. Like, that's so important to me. I hate, I'm going to put it here, that when you go to a show and you can't hear the vocals,
unless that's the intention,
then okay. But like, you know,
we're a pop band. Like, make sure her vocals like way up.
Yeah, I want to hear what they're saying. Someone wrote those words. I want to hear them. So, like, yeah, I think a lot of the times we're working to make sure those dynamics are working right.
Oh yeah, like I got to turn down my guitar, right? Because can we hear Carrie's vocals? Switch out your hi hats. What are the quieter hi hats? Because I want to make sure I can hear Carrie's vocal. Dylan, where's your amp's good? Because I want to be able to hear Carrie's vocal.
And that's the thing. If it was an ego contest, it would be like, well, my guitar has to be the loudest and my amp has to be cranked. And it's like, we're all just really sensitive to how we sound, not just individually, but together.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it seems like you've been able to keep in vision being greater than the sum of your parts. And as a band, that can be your hugest advantage for sure. I want to cycle back to something right quick before I let you guys go with a fun one. You mentioned CDs and playing a CD to death when you were a kid. And I like to kind of ask people, especially bands, where you sit with your relationship with physical media. Do you want to press a single? Would you make like a 10-inch, you know, since you guys are only doing singles? Do you push for physical media, or is the merch game all in your eyes just a matter of shirts and the shit that isn't necessarily tied to the musical releases?
So we don't have any merch.
Well, you're going to have to.
Yes.
I was going to say, you might be 6 months late. I didn't tell you.
Yeah. We've been so focused on the music and playing shows and recording that we haven't really thought about the merch thing yet. Oops.
Well, that's how you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't even have a functioning vinyl player right now, but I have, Group Love is one of my favorite bands, and I have their Little Mess EP in vinyl, and I just love looking at it and holding it. And like Hannah Hooper does all of the art for their band. She sings and plays in the band, but she also I admire her deeply because I resonate with her story a lot. She went to art school, she got in a band, and now she does all the art for the band.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, if that's, you know, if you wanted to make more merch and have this physical media presence because you can take control of that part, or ownership, maybe a better word for it, ownership of that part too.
Realistically, why have we not done that yet, slash why is it not in the immediate plan? It's money and time. When we get more money, when we get more time, would we want to make physical copies of things? Absolutely. I love my old CDs. I love my old cassettes.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
I will never get rid of them. I love my old posters that I cut out of magazines and that are folded and have the little pins. And like, I bought Katy Perry's first CD when she was Katie Hudson, and it's like collectible and my prized little possession. And like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we love physical media. We use Spotify. All of us, we have to use Spotify.
Right.
We have to use digital. How do you listen to music in your car if you don't? But no.
I still burn CDs. Yeah.
Well, in your case, you could just sing for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Euclid Place Records.
Yes.
Victor Alvarez. Victor Alvarez. Putting out a lot of records. And I think I would love to put out a collection of all of our singles on Euclid Place Records by the end of the year. Boom. Announcement.
We can do that.
We can do that.
There you go.
There's a goal.
See?
Goal formed.
Love it.
Started here.
See? Yeah. Love it. All you got to do is plant the seeds.
The seeds for Earth Girl.
Yeah.
Aww.
All right. Well, I wasn't going to ask this one, but I'll tell you. In disclosing, I have my 14-year-old son. I live across the street. Before I left, I said, I'm going to interview a band called Earth Girl. What should I ask him? Just to see what he'd said.
Cool.
He takes a 3-second break from his Xbox and he says, what are they called? And I said, Earth Girl. And he said, ask him what Earth Girl means. I was like, that's just too easy of a question. Everybody always asks bands that. But now you tangled it in, so I'm going to ask, and shout out to Julian across the street. What does Earth Girl mean? How did you settle on Earth Girl?
Oh, I think there's a little bit of Earth Girl in all of us. We've all got
that.
An Earth Girl deep inside.
You need a shirt that says that.
Yes, we do. Even the guys are Earth Girls. It doesn't matter. Like, you know.
You need shirts that say that.
It's a concept. It's a feeling. Like, I don't know. It's like we're bringing a femininity to it. We're bringing a vulnerability, a softness to it. I'm going to do that no matter what. I can't help it. It oozes out of me.
Love that.
And they're also so down with it and so cool. And it's really not even a gender thing. It's more about like a feeling. And then the earth thing is just, again, because we're vegans, we're environmentalists, we're very passionate. I've done a lot of animal rescue. I've got a garden I'm growing and loving right now.
Heck like, yeah.
We're so big about that. It kind of feels like combining things that are really important to us. And it's catchy and memorable and...
Oh, and shout out to the Florida Botanical Gardens in Largo. We did a photo shoot there. They were very friendly, gorgeous. And then what was the name of the place we're at today?
Sweetfields Farm. We just went to Sweetfields Farm.
They were very nice to us.
Sunflower field. We got licked by a cow.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah.
Well, we'll make sure we got a link in the description for anybody else who's into getting licked by a cow or pictures.
Rosie, shout out to Rosie. Rosie Moo Moo.
Rosie Moo Moo. Favorite cow.
It's like, I just want to go and go to these places anyway, and having an excuse to be like, do you like want to take like Earth Girl pictures at a place? Like, well, yeah, but also I just want to like walk through a sunflower maze anyway.
Right.
Which was awesome. I don't know if you can tell that we're kind of pink.
Just a little sunny.
Yeah.
Well, music is a good vehicle for experiences.
Yes. Yeah, it's been great.
They go hand in hand, especially in this band.
Aw, that's so awesome. I love that. Well, let's get you guys out of here on something fun. Let's just say you do have this, or let's put us in the position where we are now releasing your record that's your collection of singles. In this fantasy world where the reality of your record is a thing, what bands are on your record release party with you? Who do you
want? That's easy. New Aesthetics, Rudderkin, Bad Bad Things. Help me out here. Who else do we need to say?
We could keep
going. We have a lot of band friends.
In Transit. Articles, Mothbite. I'm going to feel so bad because I'm going to start
Jones,
leaving things
Pilot
out.
Wave. Dave's, a Stoned Mary, Lisa Silvermore band. Yeah. She's Sarasota based. She's great. We love her.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
It would be a 3-day festival with all of our friends.
Yeah, it would be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day festival.
In the fantasy world.
Second rodeo.
Second rodeo.
Who else?
We just plug our own bands.
Why not? Yeah. And there would be vegan food trucks, and there would be animals to pet, and it would be beautiful.
Are you in a band?
Yes and no.
Okay, well, get it together. We'll have 3 stages. You'll get on one of them. Is your son in a band?
He's just actually starting to learn to play. He's now slaying Seven Nation Army. So.
Oh, he's on.
That's where you got to start.
Yay. All right.
Julian and the Seven Nation Armies, they're playing. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, I can't thank you guys enough for coming down here. I love your spirit. I love your attitude. I can't wait to see you guys live. We're going to link to everything you got going and the Kyle Licken experience in this one. Everybody out there, get out there and see Earth Girl. Make sure you get on Spotify and listen to their music until that vinyl comes out. And then when that vinyl comes out, we'll all party at the 3-day festival.
Thank you so much for having us. Awesome. This was so much fun.
Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay.